Hello and welcome. Connie Reagan Green here. This is episode 46 of season 1 of my podcast series, Prestabilius, Excellence in Marketing. Prestabilius is a Latin word that means outstanding or extraordinary, and that's what I'm trying to provide for you here. So this is Thanksgiving week in the United States. I've come to call this U.S. Thanksgiving because I have so many friends and colleagues in the Great White North up in Canada, and they have their Thanksgiving during October, so it's about 6 weeks earlier, depending on how the dates fall in the U.S. for our Thanksgiving, because we are the fourth Thursday. And during this week, what I wanted to share with you is my gratitude for online entrepreneurship. And I won't share too much of my story. Most of you know it. But for people who are new to me and to my podcast, I worked as a classroom teacher for 20 years, and I didn't become a teacher until I was 30 years old. And it was so many things leading up to that, including the Challenger space shuttle disaster that happened. The teacher on board was Krista McAuliffe, and that was a very moving event for me and for people all over the United States and the world, where many of us took a closer look at our life and decided that we wanted to do something different, we wanted to do something more, we wanted to give back. And many people joined the service, the armed forces, during this time that I know of and read about right after. And people like me, I returned to college and got my teaching credential. And during those years of teaching, I loved it just to no end for the first 15 years with very little, you know, away from that. It was so wonderful. I was willing to put in the hours and do everything that I needed to do. And it was during the last 5 years where teaching in the public schools in Los Angeles, which is where I was, and is the only area I can speak to, it changed, which meant for me that I had to teach to the test, even though they were shouting from the rooftops that the teachers were not teaching to the test, but it was the only way that we could do our work. We really couldn't do anything else. The scores were so low. And I was in two schools during that five-year period. I was in one and then ended up transferring to another. And in both cases, we were in the very bottom of the schools for our section of the district. The Los Angeles Unified School District was broken up into six different parts. And in our parts, they were the very lowest schools. They were in the bottom 10 in both cases. And what that meant was that we had to do whatever we had to do to get those scores higher. And it was exhausting. It was no fun for any of us. Anything that I used to do on my own as a teacher, as part of my lessons, was now forbidden. Things like from the United States Postal Service, the USPS, they had lesson plans. And I've been a philatelist. I've been a stamp collector for so long. And they had posters and lesson plans. And for 20 minutes every week, I would do a lesson about the stamps, and I'd have a poster in the back of the room. And the kids really enjoyed that. And that was just one example of things I used to do. I did a lot with science and with technology. And finally, all we taught every day was language arts and mathematics. Everything else fell by the wayside. And I mean everything else except for some time with physical education. So I became very disillusioned, and I was looking for something different. And if you know my story at all, you know that simultaneously during the entire 20-year period I was teaching, I was still doing my real estate business that I had done for several years before I went back to school to become a teacher. And that added to my exhaustion and just everything that was involved with having two different business hats every day. So I was the teacher, and then I was the real estate broker / residential appraiser. And I wanted something different. And sure enough, in the spring of 2005, a variety of coincidences and serendipitous connections brought me to online entrepreneurship. And it would be a little over a year before I would resign from teaching at the end of June 2006 and give away my real estate clients and be a full-time online entrepreneur. So I hope this story has a little interest to you. It went on longer than I intended, but I think it's important to know where people are coming from to understand why they feel the way they do about where they are today. And my life has been more wonderful than I ever could have imagined. And I'm able to do things in a different way. It's changed not only my life, but the lives of people close to me, my family members, my extended family that's over in Finland and other parts of Europe, and people that I'm now doing things with nonprofits and a whole variety of experiences that I'm having that I don't believe I would have been able to have if I would have remained in teaching, because even now, all these years later, I would still be teaching. It wouldn't be time for me to retire until 3 more years from now. Well, 2.5 years from now, but just the thought of that, I just don't know if I would have had that much left in me to do it. And the real estate, I'm still a real estate broker in the state of California, but I only do it for myself and for close family members and a couple of friends. And I let my appraisal license go. I can't imagine doing that anymore. And then this year, my teaching credential renews every 5 years. So I didn't come into teaching soon enough to receive a life credential. So every 5 years, I've renewed it. And this year, I really thought about it for at least a month, and I thought, you know, I don't know that I'm going to renew it. I'm never going to be in a classroom again. What possible use could I have for it? But at the last moment, I went ahead and renewed. It's a fairly easy process, which has changed over the years, meaning that you used to have to teach for 90 days or at least volunteer at a credentialed school for 90 days during the 5 years. You also had to take some college courses, and I believe it was maybe it was 12 units, so the equivalent of 3 college courses during that time, and be able to verify that with a transcript. And then you would pay your fee, and it's a relatively small fee compared to real estate fees, to renew for the next 5 years. Well, over the years, that changed. And a number of years back, I thought that there was a mistake, that all of a sudden I filled out the application to renew and I was taken to the payment page. And I thought, no, where's the part to talk about the 90 days that I've taught and the or volunteered and the part about my college classes? And when I called up in Sacramento to the State Department of Credentialing, they said, oh, no, we don't require that anymore. So finally, they just wanted the money. So on this day, and this was at the very end of February or beginning of March of 2020, I went ahead to the payment page and paid, and I thought, okay, so, you know, that way I'll have my teaching credential. Well, all of a sudden, the world, you know, shifted off of its axis and turned upside down and with the pandemic, and I thought, you know, having that teaching credential could very well be something I could be very helpful to others because I have it. So, and that's something I'll discuss at a different time. So in the meantime, though, I'm doing my work as an online entrepreneur, and this week is Thanksgiving week, so I've been away with family, a group of us, so it's just my immediate family members and grandchildren. We decided to form a bubble during March, before the end of March, which meant we were going to be together during all this time. And at the time, we thought it would be a month or so, maybe 6 weeks. And then that led into 2 months, 3 months. And over time, we talk about it, but we've continued to stay together. It works for all of us. We have plenty of room. We enjoy spending time with each other. And that's been a great gift to be closer physically with these people that I love so, so much. And to see what that's like to be part of a larger family unit. So we took the train to San Diego, and we had done that in July, right around the 4th of July, Independence Day in the U.S. We had done that just for 3 days back then, came back on the 4th morning, and this time we decided to do it for a full week. So when I am away, which I typically am in Europe for a full month every summer, right around July. Sometimes it starts in June and ends in August, but right around a month. And when I'm doing any other traveling, which I tend to do between Christmas Day and into the new year, then usually I'm working for an hour a day. So on this trip, I thought, you know, it really is getting toward the end of November, and we have Black Friday, Small Business Saturday, Cyber Monday, which now is called Cyber Monday or Cyber Week. And I thought maybe 2 hours is better. So I get up very, very early. I get up at 4, 4:30, no later than 5. So I do my hour of my 2 hours. I do that first hour very early. And during that time, I'm doing a little research for what I'm going to be sending out to my email list. And I want to make sure that the links are working, that the details haven't changed overnight, because sometimes they do. And also I'm going into Twitter and making sure everything is appearing the way I want it to appear. We now can schedule on Twitter, and that's been just marvelous to be able to do that in advance. So that's how I spend that first hour, and also I take a look at some writing that I'm going to be working on. And then I do the second hour later in the day. So right now it's just after 11 o'clock here in California, which means that I'm doing things with my intermittent fasting. I do two apps. I do the Zero app, and what's the other app called? The one is called Zero, and the other one is called Life, I guess, if you are interested. Daily Life, maybe. Life or Daily Life, but it's intermittent fasting. The other one's the Zero app. And so 11 o'clock marks, you know, a time when I'm opening my feasting window, and I've closed my fasting window. My feasting window is much smaller than my fasting window, of course, and that's part of what I'm doing. Also, I'm going through and taking a look at anything that I need information about. So I'm writing a new article for my Monday Morning Mellow site, and usually I don't start so early, but I had some information which started my brain wheels turning, and I made some notes, and I went ahead and started that article, and I've got about 500 words, so that's what I've written for today, and it required some research, so I've done that, and I have the links to that, and part of it talks about the savings and loan crisis that happened during the 80s and into the 1990s, and I like to always tie something from real life with something with business, with something else that makes a point, so that the articles on that blog, MondayMorningMellow.com, are very different than what I'm publishing very regularly on ConnieReaganGreen.com or on HugeProfitsTinyList.com. So that's what I was working on, and I learned a new word. The word is fealty.
Fealty.
I clicked the pronunciation on my computer just now. And fealty, it's a feudal tenant's or vassal's sworn loyalty to a lord or formal acknowledgement of loyalty to a lord. And the article that I had read last night about this, where they used the word, and I just didn't recognize it, it's in regards to people in the public eye acting like a bully and getting quite a few people to be loyal to them. And I found this very, very interesting, so I wanted to know what that word was, and that's part of what I was looking at. The next thing that I'm doing during this hour is once a week, I'm taking an article that I've written previously that's been queued up in reverse chronological order, so I'm able to scroll down and see which last one hasn't been syndicated, and then I syndicate it. And so this one, this time, is called Writing Content with SEO in Mind, and SEO is Search Engine Optimization. So that's just a copy-paste into LinkedIn articles and also into Medium, where I'm able then to share that article much wider than I would be able to share it just on my own website. And this one came from, let me take a look, it came from ConnieReaganGreen.com. So that's the difference with the two. I always know which one, where it came from. So that's something that also that I work on during my hours. Something else, and I had written about it in my email this morning, and here I'll just read you a short excerpt. I said, during a four-hour train ride earlier this week, I chose to block out the world. I needed this break from reality. It's been an unreal kind of year, don't you think? And I wanted to escape into my own world while watching the scenery passing by. My usual modus operandi is to immerse myself in nature, around animals, and through music. On this day, I chose the latter and revisited the history of the Beach Boys album Pet Sounds from 1966. Brian Wilson of the Beach Boys enlisted the help of the Wrecking Crew, and the result changed the face of popular music forever. By the time we pulled into the station at Old Town in San Diego, I felt refreshed and renewed and was transported to a simpler time when the world made sense, at least to me. I highly recommend that you find a venue through which you can escape on a moment's notice from wherever you are to get a fresh perspective on the world. And this is the type of thing that I like to share. It's so, so important, I believe, that all of us have a way to do that kind of escape just on a moment's notice. And so if you go to YouTube, I think YouTube is the best place, and look for the album Pet Sounds, look for the Wrecking Crew, and I won't go into detail here, or I'll be talking forever about it, but this was a magical time, and the way I found out about all of this, because most of us were not aware during the 60s, 70s, and 80s that this type of thing was going on, and the type of thing I'm referring to is where a full orchestra would of studio musicians, people that are paid by the hour to be in the studio for a variety of reasons, movies and television shows and albums and CDs, things like that, all kinds of things, live performances, they're brought in to add a level of sophistication and professionalism that isn't always available just from the group themselves. And boy, it makes a difference, and it's just awesome. So, you know, take a look at that. And the way, what I was saying is, the way that I first found out about it was, I go to film festivals. I love film. I'm a big part of that world of going to Telluride Film Festival initially back in the late 80s, and going to the Sundance Film Festival 5 times now. And living in Santa Barbara, I go to the Santa Barbara Film Festival every year. And, of course, everything is different this year and into next year. But there was a documentary that I saw a number of years back, and it was called The Wrecking Crew. And I, in my mind, I thought maybe it had something to do with cars, but then I quickly read, and it was something about music. And so I went to see it, and it really changed my thinking about music and about that period of time, that era of ushering in these studio musicians. And I highly recommend that you look up The Wrecking Crew. I'm sure that it's available on some streaming service somewhere. So that was something else that I was doing. Also, I was looking at, from Alice Seba and Ron Douglas, it's called Elite Writers Lab, and I was looking at some things that I could share at no cost. And one of those things is how to write reports. It's a free report tutorial. And then, what else was I doing? I was looking at some things for the upcoming Black Friday that I think are so important, and I think that's about all that I was doing, because I think that's probably enough, and you might agree. But then the very last thing that I'm doing today, and after I talk with you right now for this podcast, I really only have another 10 minutes, and I'm happy with that. I don't ever need more time, because in this world of online entrepreneurship and authorship and everything that goes along with it, you call the shots. You make your own schedule. You do what you're going to do. And so the final thing that I'll look at for another 10 minutes is a book that I'm writing. It's called Book Launch Booster Rockets, and it will have a subtitle, but I don't know yet what that subtitle is going to be. And it's a book on how to write short books and use those books to promote you and everything you're doing. I have a course by the same name, and I did write a lengthy report for that, but I'm not even looking at that while I'm writing this new book. Instead, I'm doing it in my 10-week author program that I do twice a year, and I estimate right now I have 7,372 words in this book. It's 43 pages, and because this is a short book, it will be unlike other books that I typically do. I have another one coming out any day with Ellen Finkelstein, our second book together. This is for speakers, how to speak to income, that model. And typically my books are somewhere between 30 and 40,000 words. I have one that's over 40,000, but typically they're in that range. And this book, the Book Launch Booster Rockets book, will be about 15,000 words. So that means that I'm halfway finished, and the book will be maybe 85 to 90 pages. And I'll go ahead and do it in paperback as well as Kindle, but for a Book Launch Booster Rocket, you really only need it in Kindle version. So it's relatively easy to do. And you can go to booklaunchboosterrockets.com and see what's included there, and I also offer some mentoring with that. Or you can wait until the book comes out, and I will release it in January. If I have a book that I'm finishing in the last quarter of the year, as I typically do, I will hold that book for release in public and publication in January so that I have a book already published in that calendar year. And this year, I already have The Road Trip, which I held last year at this time. I held it till January. And The Road Trip, An Entrepreneur's Journey of Self-Discovery, that one was published in January. The one with Ellen will be published either November or December, in any day now. And because of that, then I don't want the third book, the Booster Rockets book, I don't want it published at the, you know, in the same calendar year. So that's just something that I do. It's part of my marketing strategy that I started a number of years back. So everything that I'm doing in my day-to-day life serves me because I don't have to adhere to a strict schedule. Now, yes, I'm teaching, and not this week, of course, but I do teach one or two webinars a week, depending on what I'm doing. Right now, I'm finishing up Fall Jumpstart and finishing up the 10-week author program for 2020, and we will resume both of those in the beginning of January and finish those in the first 2-3 weeks of January. But other than that, and with calls with the people I mentor, people in my mentor program that I schedule with them, other than that, I don't have a set schedule. I know I'm going to be up early and do most of my writing, most of my work early, and I know that I have other commitments with family and friends and community even during this time, and we can't call this an unprecedented time because there is a precedent for what we're going through with the pandemic right now. It was 100 years ago. It was between 1918 and 1920 and lasted a good year and a half or a little longer. They called it the Spanish flu, which was a misnomer because it did not start in Spain. Instead, Spain was the first country to have the courage to come forth back then and say, yes, we have people in our country who are dying, who are sick and are dying from this flu. And it was an influenza, and it's a fascinating story. I was not familiar with it until March when I did some research and saw what had happened. We haven't learned a whole lot in 100 years, I'm sad to say, but it is very interesting. But it is, so this is not an unprecedented period of time. This is just a sad time in many ways, but for many of us, this has been a time to have a restart, a reset, a renewal, a refreshing of ourselves and what we're doing. And I talked about the intermittent fasting. That's been very good for me. I've now released 25% of my original weight, which is a big deal for me. It's made a difference in every day for me and in my health, how I feel, in my confidence and self-esteem, all those things. So I want you to take from this the idea that you can do whatever you want to do in your life, in the world. You can achieve anything. And I know for me, I can only speak from my own personal experience, my mother used to tell me that. And once in a while, regularly, and once in a while my father would tell me that. No one else seemed to. I don't remember it from teachers or from any adult family members and role models other than my mother and occasionally my father, but I didn't believe it. Especially with my mother, I thought, well, you have to tell your children that. But that isn't true. You can have anything you want. You can achieve anything that you want to achieve. you have to put in the time. There's something called the 10,000-hour rule, and I think that's what really caught me up, where I was not willing to devote the time and the energy and the effort to improving on what I was doing. And writing stands out in my mind as one of those things. I wanted to write, but I was not willing to take that time and hone that skill at an early age. And I still feel bad about it. No use to feel bad now. I finally started writing when I came online at age 50. But I want you to know that whatever it is you want to do, whatever your secret dreams and desires are, put in the time, make the effort, learn what you need to do. Because once I came online with entrepreneurship, I thought, oh, no, this is too hard. I won't be able to do it. I told myself all these stories. I had negative self-talk. And then I stopped myself and I said, no, I believe I can do this. I just have to put in the time and learn how to do it, connect with the right people, go into the right courses and programs, and do all of the things that in my past life I was not willing to do. So really take this to heart. Really give some thought to it. I'd love to connect with you and know more about your feelings in this area. And I just want you to think about what you're grateful for in your life, and I'll leave you with mine, that I'm so grateful that I can have this online business, that I can run from home, I can run from the Amtrak train, I can run it from wherever in the world I happen to be. For that, I'm very grateful, and I'm grateful for you as my listener. Please connect with me further. I'm excited to know you and to know all about you, what interests you, what motivates you, what inspires you, and what I can do to serve you along your journey as an online entrepreneur and author. This is Connie Reagan Green from Prestabilius, Excellence in Marketing.